We want to wish everybody a good morning. And we give God the praise from whom all blessings flow. Amen? Amen. Can you just flip it back to the first slide? Okay. Adventism 101. All right. We're going to talk about Adventism 101. But before we do that, before we have prayer, I'd like to introduce a very good friend of mine. I have two good friends. I'll introduce the other one tonight. But my first good friend, I was very encouraged when he called me and told me that he is coming to Army Bible Camp. He is a conference official from the South Central Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, man of God, and I would truly say one of the few ministers that I know, I'm not giving him no glory, I'm giving God the glory, that I would truly say is a standard bearer. Amen. We don't have too many of those. He is the prayer ministries coordinator and men's ministries coordinator of the South Central Conference, Pastor Roy Ruggles. Can you come up to the front? I'm just going to ask him, send greetings from South Central Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. And I tell you, I strongly recommend him for your next Army Bible Camp. Amen. Amen. He leads out in prayer ministry, and the Lord's blessed him tremendously. I think you use that microphone if it's working.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I bring you greetings from the great South Central Conference, which covers five states: Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, Tennessee, and the northwest part of Florida. And we are happy to be here with you. I am really encouraged and impressed with the number of I see here to worship the Lord. You don't find too many people who want to come to a situation like this. I was scheduled to go to Orlando, Florida this weekend. We're having a United Youth Congress where all of the regional conferences are coming together and converging together. I had already made plans to come, but I heard about Army, and then I heard about prayer, and then I heard about Pastor Martin Kim. I don't know if Martin is here, but he came to one of our prayer summits, got inspired, fired up, and then just started going ablaze for Jesus Christ. Amen. And I am impressed with your longing desire to have a closer walk with God. I know the Lord is pleased. I would just encourage you to take advantage of the various opportunities that are here, not only with the seminars and the other things that are going on, but the prayer room. The power is in prayer. I'm telling you, the power is in prayer. Number two, have an opportunity to go out in nature. Isn't it beautiful here?
Yes, it is.
It's beautiful here. Just looking at the lake, looking at the mountains, everything is so serene, and God wants to speak to you. I declare unto you that the Lord has a special blessing in store for you this weekend, and don't miss it. And then lastly, I'm really impressed with the number of young people that I see
Amen.
Here. And let me tell you what Ellen White says. She says, with an army of young people rightly trained, Amen. How soon the finishing of the work could be.
Amen.
Let's press together. Let's pray together. And let's seek God together, and God is going to bless us. And you have a good man here, Dr. Olatunji. We go back a long ways.
Yes.
I had him come to my church and preach. He's done an excellent job. He's done stuff at Oakwood University. If you never heard him before, there's a special treat in store for you. Doctor, I want to have a word of prayer with you before we, let's bow our heads. It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. We're so thankful for that which we've heard today. Now, Lord, we're into our final segment, and sometimes we get a little weary. Energize us, we pray. And I pray your healing hand upon my brother here. Energize him as well. Give him the words, even though he has his prepared text. You know what we need. Bless us, we pray, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, let everyone say,
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for praying for me. Amen. All right. We're living in the last days. Amen. And we're living in a time of almost universal skepticism and apostasy when it comes to the doctrines of the Bible. Ellen White says that the very truths that we believe will be attacked, not just from without, but also from within. And it's very imperative that we understand what thus saith the Lord for ourselves. And not just what thus saith the Lord, but how to obtain a thus saith the Lord for ourselves. Are you with me? It's one thing to be spoon-fed, but how do I feed myself? This is what the goal of Army Bible Camp is about. And what I want to talk about today is Adventism 101. And tonight will be Adventism 101 Part 2. Maybe I could say Adventism 201. So I'll change that tonight. This is Adventism 101. Tomorrow will be Adventism 201. Okay, I'll be preaching tonight at 7 o'clock, whatever time it's going to be this evening. We're going to give an inspirational message of why we need to be rooted and grounded, because there's a shaking going on. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But thank God, the prophet of the Lord says the things that cannot be shaken will remain. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is Army Bible Camp, amen? And this is where we are to equip you with the Word of God on how to use that Word as a sharp two-edged sword. And while you're turning there, I have two Bibles. I have a small pocket Bible, which Ellen White says we should have a pocket Bible, amen? 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in New York City, Pastor Myers, and I, killing time on the plane by reading my Bible, and I left it in the pouch by accident. And I was, a dear Bible of mine. But thank God, I'm sure somebody's going to be in the kingdom by picking that book up. Amen. I hope my name's in there, so I hope they find me on Facebook and say, I got your Bible. But if not, that's okay. I bought the little pocket Bible from Walmart, about $10. And I got my big Bible. I'm just in love with big letter Bibles. Amen. I mean, I have good eyesight now, but I just like the big letter Bibles. But what happens is simply is this right here. It's very imperative that we have a Bible with us all the time because you never know when you need to use it. Amen. And the Bible says the word is sharper than any two-edged what? Sword. Now, the sword was the weapon of choice back then. Today, we'll talk about AK-47s and 44s and stuff like that. So what color is a gun usually? What color is my Bible? I mean, so my Bible's like my sword. So every day, you got to be strapped. Amen. Amen. Because you never know when you have to take aim. Are you with me? Pow. Are you with me? At sin. Are you with me? I'm serious. And now, thank God for technology. We got 3G and 4G phones now. You have phone Bibles now. Amen. So it's no excuse to not have the Word of God. Because the day is going to come where Ellen White says our Bibles will be taken away. But if we allow the Word of God to be written in our minds and our hearts, no man can take that away. The Bible says study. Somebody say study. Study, in the Greek, it means to dig. So it's not just any old kind of studying. It's a studying where you are digging. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto who? The master general, amen? Because as the songwriter says, we are soldiers in the army. So what happens is this right here. A soldier must know how to use their gun. And in this warfare, there are no conscientious objectors. What do you say out there? So study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be what? Rightly dividing the word of what? Let me tell you this right here. Sad to say, a lot of our people do not know what they believe, Ellen G. White says. A lot of people are just Adventists in name only. But what happens is a real Seventh-day Adventist Christian, real born-again Seventh-day Adventist Christian, should have a good, general, and systematic knowledge of the Bible. Are you with me? Today we're going to talk about the general knowledge of the Bible. The general what? Knowledge. And tomorrow we deal with the systematic knowledge of the Bible. And when you put the two together, let me tell you something. It's as if you got two guns. Are you with me? Now watch this right here. Adventism 101. Watch this right here. Ellen White says in Education, page 189, the study of the Bible demands our most diligent what? Effort and persevering what? So what happens is when you study the Bible, what happens is it has to have what kind of effort? Diligent. Now that means you can't be lazy reading the Bible. That means you got to be diligent. And persevering what? Thought. Now, what happens is, why persevering thought? Because we were made in the image of God. Are you with me? And through sin has degenerated our minds and our thoughts to where, you know, let's keep it real, it's easy for let somebody to think for us rather than us to think for ourselves. So when we study the Bible, we must take earnest, persevering thought. It will help strengthen our thought patterns, our thought muscles, to whereby the Bible will train us to be attentive thinkers. As a matter of fact, Ellen White says that the remedy for anybody to have a retentive memory is the study of the Word of God. So this thing, Ritalin and all these medicines they get for ADD, let them read the Bible. Amen? As the miner, somebody say miner. What does a miner do? Dig. So a miner digs. Am I right or wrong? So does a miner have tools? Okay, so what happens is, as the miner digs for the golden treasure in the earth, so earnestly and persistently must we seek for the treasure of what? God's word. So therefore, the word of God is the earth where all the gems are. Therefore, we must have the tools and dig deep. Are you with me? No real miner would just dig on the surface. They'll go deep down and say, no matter how long it takes, we're going to get what we want. Are you with me? So what happens is, what is it that you want from the Bible? Answer me. Oh, somebody give me that answer. What is it that you want from the scriptures? Truth. That's the bottom line. So what happens is that if you want truth, therefore you got to dig deep at the feet of Jesus. Now let's talk about it from a relational standpoint. Who must you kiss to be saved? Jesus. But isn't Jesus the Word? Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 2 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So what happens is this right here. When we are opening the Word of God, we're kissing Jesus. Are you with me? Talk to me, somebody. And when you open it, he's opening his arms, ready to embrace you with his love, his thoughts, and his feelings. And when two people kiss in a marriage relationship, feelings exchange. Am I right or wrong? You give your feelings over to God, God gives his feelings to you. Therefore, his character becomes your character. So as we study the Word of God, we are seeking not only truth, but the character of God. Are you with me? Now watch this right here. In a book called A Call to Stand Apart, page 69, Ellen G. White says, now this is deep right here. The Bible is whose voice speaking unto us? Now, I'm not going to lie. You know, when you read the Bible, sometimes you get jealous of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where God just spoke to them directly. You know, we just wish sometimes that God would just speak to us directly and just talk to us. Let's get the middleman out of the way, Lord, just speak to me directly. But God doesn't work like that today. Are you with me? Now, he will at times, but we are told that the Bible is God's voice speaking to us just as surely as if we could hear it with our ears. So before we talk about how to study the Bible, we got to let you know, what are you studying? You're studying, you're trying to get a word from the Lord. Are you with me? And if you seek God's word, you shall seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. If we realize this, with what awe we would open God's word. That means that every time you open that word, it's as if you're having an audience chamber or a Facebook chat with the infinite one. Talk to me, somebody. And with what earnestness we would search its precepts. The first thing you should do before you study the Bible is to do what? Pray for illumination, where God will bring his Holy Spirit into your chamber. Ellen White says in Gospel Workers that the very attitude by which we come into the Word of God will determine the person in the place studying with us. So if we come with the attitude of a learner, with a desire to know God's will, God will come to us as we open the Word, and as we search its precepts, the reading and the contemplation of the Scriptures will be regarded. Somebody say regarded. That means you would treat it as an audience with the infinite one. Isn't that wonderful? That means that every time we open that word, we should expect God to speak to us. Amen? And sometimes he may not speak to you right away, but as you search, because let me tell you this right here, ask and ye shall receive. If you're at, let me tell you, the Bible has the answer to every question you may ever have. And what happens is sometimes you may find the answers in the Scriptures, but there's times you have to tarry, sometimes for days. Are you with me? And really embody the thought that God has given to you in relation to your own personal life. And when you do that, reading the Bible becomes the most exciting thing on this earth. Now, there's some objectives to this study today and tomorrow. Number one, we're going to talk about how to understand the message of the what? When we talk about understanding the Bible, we have to understand what is the overall message. What is this thing talking about? Now, we've all watched a movie or two before. Am I right or wrong? Let's keep it real. Whether it was a sinful movie or whether it was a Christian, maybe Pilgrim's Progress movie or whatever. But the bottom line is, no matter what movie you saw, it's always a plot to it. Am I right or wrong? Right. Let me tell you this right here. The Bible's the greatest movie that you've ever read. Amen? To where we have to look for the plot, understanding the message of the Bible. We're going to break this down. Now, number two is how to systematically understand the doctrines of the what? It's very important. People talk about, let's not talk about doctrine. Let's talk about Jesus. Hold it. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the what? The truth. And his word is what? Truth. Are you with me? So what happens is we cannot separate doctrine from Jesus. Are you with me? Now, how to systematically understand the doctrines of the Bible from a seven-day Adventist what? Worldview. I say it very carefully because you have what's called a Baptist worldview. Are you with me? You have an apostate Protestant worldview. Are you with me? You have a Roman Catholic worldview, which will lead you to receive the mark of the beast. Are you with me? If you're not careful, are you with me? But the Seventh-day Adventist worldview, which we believe is the remnant worldview. What kind of worldview? remnant worldview, which will lead us to the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Are you with me? And everything, I want to get deep into that. But here's some key points to understand. Number one, the correct worldview must be understood when in reading the what? Now, that does not mean we read it through Adventist glasses. Are you with me? I'm not saying that. But what happens is we got to come with an open mind to understand what God has to say about something. Are you with me? Which in turn will show you which way is right. The correct worldview must be understood when reading the Bible, number one. Number two, you better understand that the Bible is its own what? It can really explain its own self. That means one scripture can unlock another scripture. Do you understand this right here? Now, what happens is a lot of things have been said traditionally, but a lot of people have not been able to prove it. Are you with me? Now, Satan drew how many of the angels of heaven? One third. How do you know that? Where does it say that besides our Pastor Myers and all those who know? But those who may not know, where do you think we got that from? Revelation, thank you. Okay, everybody knows. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, but the Bible says the dragon. Who's the dragon, somebody? And the Bible says the dragon's tail. What is the tail symbolic of? Oh, in Isaiah 9, it says that tails are symbolic of lies. So the dragon's tail, Revelation 12, verse 4, drew the third part of the what? Stars of where? And in Revelation 1, stars equal angels. So Satan's lies drew up one third of the angels. We get it right there. Are you with me? But what happens is the Bible unlocks what it means. If you just stuck with that one verse, you'll get lost. Are you with me? Unless you use scripture to explain scripture. Do you understand this right here? Now, number three, we got to keep this in mind. Who is the foundation? Christ. And the central theme? Christ. Everything we study about, let's just keep it real. It's one way or another, it's going to lead you back to Christ. Amen? So what happens is when we study our doctrines, how does this lead me to Christ? Amen? When we study the overall message of the Bible, how does this lead me to Christ? For God so loved, the whole scripture is wrapped up in John 3:16. Are you with me? For God so loved the what? That he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting what? So how does what you read relate to John 3:16 in terms of your salvation? See, when you look at it, when you look at the Bible like that, the Bible comes to life. It becomes a personal book, not just a theological book. Are you with me? Just getting ideas and showing people how deep you are. Are you with me? Now, watch this right here. Lastly, a determination to follow the will of who is important when studying the what? Because the devil knows that Bible left and right. But you know that he's not determined to follow God's will. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this. You got people who have PhDs in theology who are atheists. Are you with me? Literally. That's right, Brother Bonzel. They're the atheists. Are you with me? And you got some that study the Bible just to show how deep they are and impress people when they come to places like this. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. It's not about everybody else, is about yourself. Are you with me when it comes to studying the Bible? Because God is speaking to you personally. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me? But they which do the what? Of my Father, which is where? In heaven. So what happens is simply is this right here. This Bible is a roadmap to glory. What do you say out there? The B-I-B-L-E, you know by heart, basic instructions before leaving planet Earth. Are you with me? That's really what it is. So when you look at the Bible like that, you know that you're looking at a GPS system. Are you with me? And when you divert, it says, make a U-turn. Are you with me? You are going off track. Are you with me? So what happens is when we're reading the Bible on a daily basis, it will let us know whether we are on track, whether we need to make a U-turn, or when we get to heaven, it says you are at your destination, at the pearly gates destination. Amen? So keep these things in mind. Now, the Bible shapes three things. When you read the Bible, when you understand the message of the Bible, it's going to shape your life is going to be affected. The Bible says the light of your body is your eye. And what happens, whatever comes into your mind's eye will affect you spiritually. Are you with me? So your Bible will shape your what? Beliefs about God and about yourself and your neighbor as yourself. Are you with me? Number two, the Bible will shape our what? It shows us how to behave. That's why you got people knocking the Bible, because they want two men and two men to be married together of the same sex. Are you with me? That's why we got the debate. Are you with me? And number three, it will shape our what? It will tell us when to worship. Are you with me? And how to worship and with what to worship. Are you with me? So we don't have to be confused on it if we really have a desire to know God's will. It will shape our beliefs, our behavior, and last but not least, our what? And this issue about worship will be a grand central theme in the last days. Am I right or wrong? To where if we stand on the Bible as we should, we're going to be separate from everybody else that receives that mark. Am I right or wrong? Now watch this right here. Now I love this right here. Education page 189. Let the student take how many verses? One verse. And concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that what? That's how you study the Bible. Are you with me? To where you take that one verse, you thought something about chapters. Now, before you read a chapter, you got to read a verse. Am I right or wrong? Master that one verse. William Miller, in a study of the Bible from 1818 all the way to the 1830s, took one scripture and broke down every word in the concordance. Are you with me? And that's what led to the Millerite movement. Watch this right here. Let the student take one verse and concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that what? For who? Him, you personally. That means that when you read the Bible, if you read any scripture, there's something in that verse for you. No matter, even if it's the bagats, are you with me? Even if that stuff you like, that's not important, it's all important. What is it for you? And dwell upon the thought until it becomes what? So what happens is reading the Bible will train you to be a true thinker and not a reflector of other men's thoughts. So what happens is when that preacher or that teacher or whoever is out of line with the word, you're like, that's not what the word says. Are you with me? All right. One passage thus studied until its significance is of more value than the perusal of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained. So we don't study chapters just to get our daily quota to say we read the word. Are you with me? What happens is that we take one scripture in the morning. That's what daily devotionals are for. Let me give you a script. Let's look at Psalm 36. Let me give you a little practical thing. Psalm 36 and verse 8. About 3-4 months ago, I was just reading through the book Our High Calling. And if anybody's ever read a book by Ellen White, that is the one. That was the book that helped me through trial and tribulation. That's a powerful book. God gave me a scripture in that book that can carry me all the way to heaven. Because sometimes the devil wants you to think that God is a killjoy. You can't do this. You can't do that. And trust me, the way this world system is, there's a lot of things we can't do. Amen. Or we don't want to do. Are you with me? Because we love the Lord and we don't want to be separated from him. But God gave me this scripture, and God showed me in this scripture that, Isaac, if you will hang on to me, I guarantee what I got in glory is better than what you see on television and what you see in the world. That was a thought God gave to me. I read it before, but I never saw it until I came to it. The scripture says, and for they, put your name in there. Psalm 36, verse 8, sorry. Psalm 36, verse 8. They, now when it says they, are you a part of that they? Remember, she says that God has put in the verse for you, and they, I, shall be abundantly satisfied. What's the word abundantly satisfied imply? More than full. I should be abundantly satisfied with the fatness. What's the word fatness imply? That's a lot of stuff, right? So you see how we break it down each word, meditating upon each word? Have you ever eaten your favorite food and you took your time for every chew? You enjoyed every chew? Amen. Eat Jesus. Eat his word. Chew, not just every scripture, but every word of the scripture. It says, for they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy what? And see, God referred me to John 14. It says, for in my Father's house are many what? So in those mansions where God's house is, I should be abundantly satisfied. There's some fatness in it. But God ain't told me what it is yet. Are you with me? So with the eye of faith, I'm like, what is it that's more enjoyable than the most pleasurable thing I could ever enjoy here on earth? They should be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them to drink at the river of thy what? Pleasure. So people pursue pleasure. Am I right or wrong? One of the things that governs human behavior is the pursuit of pleasure. People do a lot of pleasurable things on this earth, whether they're sinful or not. Am I right or wrong? But God gave me a thought here saying that if you hang on to me, I will give you something better than the most pleasurable thing that you have ever experienced. What's the most pleasurable thing you ever experienced? Don't tell me what it is. Okay, of course, salvation, but we understand salvation now. But just keep with activity. Think about the activities, whether it's sinful or not, that's very pleasurable. God has something infinitely more pleasurable in glory. Are you with me? So that's what it means to take that one verse, and God spoke to me through that verse. And the very caption that the compilers put on that verse for that book didn't really mention what the verse was about. But when I saw that verse, I said, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Ellen White says, one word of scripture is worth more than 1,000 of men's arguments and ideas. So what happens is simply is this right here. Yes, we need to study chapters and books, but let's start with the foundation, that one verse. Amen. Now watch this right here. Ellen White makes it plain. Now, I was asked to talk about how to study the Bible. And when preparing this through prayer, the Lord led me to one page in the Spirit of Prophecy. And we're going to break this one page down for the next 40 minutes to show you how to study the Bible. Can we do this? And talk about how to understand the general message of the Bible. It's from the book Education, page 190. You can read the whole page. She says the student should learn to view the word as a what? Old Testament and what else? New Testament. They are all interconnected together. Do you understand this right here? Just as the world is interconnected through the internet, the word of God is the biblical internet. Are you with me? Do you understand this right here? So no matter which way you go, everything is interconnected. They should see the word of God as a whole and see the relation of its what? Parts. So therefore, the word of God is in parts. Am I right or wrong? See, what happens is simply is this right here. God made our minds to be systematic to where it divides material into pieces and puts them together. Do you understand this right here? So what happens is the word of God is a whole, but you got to cut the piece of a pie. Do you understand this right here? The word of God is the whole pie, but it has 66 pieces a part of it. Are you with me? And when you read the verses in the book, you're chewing each bite. Are you with me? Or each piece of the meat or the pie. Here's the Bible as a whole. Can we talk about it for a minute? Can we do Intro to the Bible 101? All right, watch it right here. Now, the first part of the Bible as a whole, here's the first piece, is what's called the primeval period. What kind of period? Which is the foundation of the whole entire scriptures. Theologians and scientists have rejected the first 11 chapters of the Bible. They have. And that tells us the origin of man, where we come from, how this world was created, when the world was created, and why God had destroyed the world by a flood, why people seeing tropical animals dig underneath Antarctica and the North Pole. I mean, things like that. So what happens is the primeval period is really the first 1,500 years of biblical history. All right, so what happens is chapters 1 through 11 is a crash course. Somebody say crash course. A crash course in this world's history, then the Bible slows down. It slows down to where God's trying to get to you at. Then you have what's called the patriarchal period. See, the first 11 chapters is a crash course. And then Genesis 12 through 50, really all the way to the time of Jesus, covers the next 1,500 years. Watch this right here. The first 1,500 years of human history is covered in 11 chapters. Then Genesis 12 all the way to the time that Jesus comes covers at least 1,500 or 2,000 years. Therefore, God is slowing it down to get to the detail. Are you with me? So when you're reading the Bible, the first 11 chapters, you're seeing a crash course on why things were the way they were and how we got to where we at when we get to chapter 12. Are you with me? Because in chapter 6 through 11, God destroyed the world. Man starts over again. Man goes into apostasy. The truth is almost obliterated. Am I right or wrong? Then in chapter 12, God calls a man named Abram, are you with me? And changes his name to Abram what? Ham, who had a barren wife named what? God chose him out of the Ur of the what? Chaldees to bring them out, to bring a people, to have a nation that will represent him in truth. Because in chapter 11, the whole world is paganized by the religion of Nimrod called paganism. Are you with me? So the truth almost got obliterated through the Nimrod religion, but God's going to bring the truth back through Abraham. Are you with me? Who was the father of the Jewish what? And what happened is patriarchal. Why patriarchal? Because the word patriarch means father governor, which means that the man was to be the ruler of the house. But what happens is God saw that society become matriarchal. Are you with me? Or egalitarian. Are you with me? And would knock out God's real intention for manhood. Are you with me? So therefore, when we read in the Bible, God is seeing men lead out, not women. Are you with me? And we need the women. Are you with me? All right, so we're not knocking nobody. But what happens is simply is this right here. We're living in a day when women are running the show. Are you with me? And on The View a couple years ago, they said, we're turning our men into women. They even said that. So what happens is the Bible restores true manhood. The next period is Exodus to what? Judges, where it's called the theocratic what? Period. What happened was the whole world got so paganized, they had human rulers called kings. Somebody say kings. They had human kings that were worshipped as gods. So what happens is the paganized cities and countries went no higher than the king of which controlled their country. Are you with me? So if the king was a homosexual, therefore Sodom and Gomorrah became homosexual. All right, if you read Genesis chapter 14, before God burnt it, Sodom and Gomorrah had a king, if you read the Bible right. If the town was corrupt, that was probably because the kings were corrupt. Are you with me? Talk to me, somebody. So what God is showing us is no nation, no organization goes no higher than its leadership. So when you're seeing that principle there. So from Exodus to Judges, God says, Pharaoh is not the king, I'm the king. And I'm going to show you how bad I am. Are you with me? I send 10 plagues, which if you really look at it carefully, struck against every god of the Egyptians. Are you with me? And where God brought them out by a strong hand and led them through the red wood and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And then God establishes what's called a theocracy, which is God is the governor. Which means that if you really want true prosperity and success, let me run the show in your life. And then it says, if you allow me, if you do everything I tell you to do, I will make you the head and not the what? To show the world that if you follow God's principles, we're more successful than those who don't follow God's principles. Are you with me? Which means that the world should be beating a path to our door for everything, not us beating a path to their door. Watch this right here. Next thing is this right here. The monarchical period, this is where the drama begins. This is the most dramatic part of the Bible. This is the part of the Bible I really don't like reading, but we got to read it. Because guess what? From a psychological standpoint, what kind of standpoint? Ellen White says in Mind, Character, and Personality that the true principles of psychology are found in the Holy Scriptures. Are you with me? So what happens is this right here. Modern psychology, Freud and stuff like that, that's of the devil. But the true psychology is in the Scriptures. Like our brother brought out, or before I came up here, Sizemore brought up, he did everything. Brought him out of deliverance, but yet human nature still distrusted God's, am I right, my brother? And they kept going back, showing us who we are by nature. If we don't have a firm reliance on that word, we will murmur and complain too. Do you understand what we're saying? God done got you out of all that debt, and yet you come to another thing, and you're like, Lord, where are you? We got to remember. Watch this right here. From 1 Samuel to 2 Chronicles is where they decided to change their system of governance. Are you with me? They wanted to be like everybody of the world. Am I right or wrong? Does that sound familiar? And what happened was they substituted God's plan for their own man-made plan, still wanting it to be God's plan. Are you with me? And if you read Samuel to Chronicles, that's when they really went into apostasy, and not only did they get what they wanted, they did what everybody else did. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, what happens is simply is this. How does this relate to us as God's people? The Seventh-day Adventist Church is still a theocracy. Am I right or wrong? It is. But what has happened is in some things we've allowed, are you with me, us to be like other nations. Are you with me? If you really read the scripture carefully, God said, even though you're going to do your own thing, if you obey my way, I still can bless you. Are you with me? So even though the church may have a lot of issues in it that could have been resolved had we allowed God to fully rule, God is still in the midst of his church. And if we obey his commandments, are you with me? He can still bless us. Now, one thing you will find out, from 1 Samuel to 2 Chronicles, the major and minor prophets of the books of Malachi, Isaiah to Malachi, were written during this period. So while you're reading Samuel to Chronicles, Isaiah all the way to Malachi were written during this period. Are you with me? So when you're reading Isaiah to Malachi in the Bible, you must understand it was written during the time of Samuel to Chronicles, which will help you to understand the issues that were being dealt with during that time. Are you with me? They were during this period, which also covered the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, because you see that because they apostatized, they got into captive by the heathen. Are you with me? As the part of the curse in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Am I going too fast? Oh, somebody say yes. Please forgive me. I have only a couple of minutes. So it's just right here. Now, what happened was these were the books written during the captivities. But after the captivities, you had the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, which were written after the what? And there's a lot of stuff, a lot of truth in there. Now, what you will find out is the Bible as a whole, God had a plan in the beginning. Am I right or wrong? Keep that in mind. Now, watch this right here. And, of course, Job, the Song of Solomon, were the poetic books. So God's not only telling you the story, what's happening, the issues, but God's giving us some Hebrew poetry to give us some encouragement. Amen? It shows that God loves us. Now, let's go on. And, of course, the New Testament, we have the Gospels of Matthew to John about somebody called what? Jesus, because this period from the beginning of time all the way to the end is leading up to this right here. Here is the meat of the matter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four accounts about one man called who? Jesus, and how he came to save you. Are you with me? And then the book of Acts is the history of the Christian what? Church. Jesus leaves to heaven and he comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? To where the church becomes a theocracy again. Are you with me? And then you have the Pauline epistles, Romans to Hebrews. He's dealing with the issues in the Christian church. As a matter of fact, the Pauline epistles all the way to the general epistles of James and Jude were written during the history of the Christian church. Does that sound familiar? Because Isaiah and the Malachi were written during the historical part of the Old Testament. So therefore, these books here, Romans to Hebrews, and the general epistles of James to Jude were written during the history of the Christian what? So when you're Christian church. So when you're reading these epistles to these different churches, keep in mind it was written during the time of the book of Acts. Are you with me? So what happens is these epistles bring the life which you read in the historical section of the book of Acts. So you see the word of God as a whole, and of course my favorite book, the prophecy, which is called the what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Amen. Watch this right here. Now I'm going to get back to this in a second. Education, Ellen G. White says, that the student should gain a knowledge of the Bible's grand central what? Theme. Now, let me ask you this, right? Let's do a little act. All right, based upon what we've covered in the Old and New Testament, what do you think the grand central theme is when you're reading Genesis from the primeval period to the time of the monarchical period to the New Testament? What do you think the general grand central theme is? Of course, Jesus. Of course, it's Jesus. Huh? Say what? Somebody said something? Number one, man can't do it. Therefore, you got to have man to do it. Amen? The man's trying to fix the economy, right? Is man trying to fix the economy right now? Man trying to solve a war in Libya? That should be easier than Iraq. Am I right or wrong, right? Am I right or wrong? Man is trying to solve the world's problems by themselves. Am I right or wrong? Isn't that what led to the first sin? Man trying to solve a so-called potential problem by himself? The problem was Satan presented that God doth know that you, when you eat thereof, your eyes shall be what? Knowing good and what? And because a problem was presented to him, the wrong way, man decided to solve it their own way by eating the fruit. Are you with me? Talk to me, somebody. Transgressing the law of God. Are you with me? So what happens is we see in society problems in society, but when you read the Bible, you see that man cannot do it by himself. He needs somebody to do it for him, which, let's get to the bottom line, a king seeking to establish a what? A kingdom. If we would trust King Jesus, are you with me? In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. Am I right or wrong? Eve was the queen, so Adam must have been the what? Ellen G. White says that Adam was the king in the Garden of Eden. What happened was is that Adam was the vicegerent of God, or the vice president of the planet Earth. He was the representative of planet Earth. Therefore, what he received from God, he was to give to his posterity. Are you with me? This earth was to be his kingdom. Thy kingdom what? In where? Come on now. As it was where? In heaven. So the theme of the Bible is a king seeking to establish a kingdom in righteousness. That's where the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a test. Are you with me? Talk to me, somebody. So if man would have obeyed God, therefore the posterity would have been a sinless image ever growing in the glory of God. Amen? So watch this right here. But man sinned. So Ellen White says we should gain a knowledge of the grand central theme of God's original purpose for the what? His original purpose for the world was to create beings that would love him out of choice rather than fear. Amen? Amen. talk to me, somebody, who would birth posterities and would ever grow in their love and knowledge of God. Is that clear? Yeah. That's God's original purpose. But what happens is we should seek that, but also the rise of the great what? Which began where? Where sin began in a created being called who? Lucifer, who became the devil or Satan. Am I right or wrong? And he carried his rebellion to man. Therefore, man became sinners. Therefore, the whole human race was affected. Are you with me? And so what happens is this great controversy is between Christ and who? In our hearts. Are you with me? But in Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the what? That means there's going to be a division between thy seed and her what? Seed. Therefore, it's going to be two seeds. Somebody say two seeds. It's going to be two seeds. So this great controversy between two what? Seeds. And the work of what? The work of redemption will save the number one seed and damn the number two seed. Amen. Talk to me, somebody. Let me say it one more time. The work of redemption through Christ dying for us on the cross will determine who will be the winning seed or the losing seed. Are you with me? Talk to me, somebody. So what happens is the work of redemption shows us why Jesus came to this earth. He came as our substitute and example. Amen? He came as the last Adam, the Bible says, or the second Adam, where he represents all of humanity. Are you with me? And if we accept his sacrifice and lordship, we'll be on the winning side. Amen? Amen? Talk to me, somebody. So when you're reading the Bible, you got to look at it from that standpoint as well, too. Let's go back on. He should understand the what? Of the two what? That are contending for the what? Supremacy. Now, last week, you know, I'm not endorsing this. Yeah, it was called the final four. Am I right, somebody? And you had the final two, you had only one winner. Am I right or wrong? Let me tell you, in this great controversy, there is no final four. It's the final two. It's only two. Christ and Satan. The woman seed and the serpent seed. What happens is simply is this right here. When you're reading the Bible, you see two things. You see love and rebellion. You see what? And what? Which are the two principles that are contending for the what? Love is the most strongest force in the universe. Did you know that? You know why? Because God is. And he's the most strongest force in the what? And true obedience can come only out of what? Love. But if you choose not to love God, then the next choice is rebellion, which is the root of all sin. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? Rebellion, seeking to exalt yourself, watch this right here, to exalt yourself above God's wisdom and love. Do you know when we sin against God, we are questioning and going against his love, number one? That's the principle right there. And his kingdom is based on love. And if we're going to be a part of his kingdom, we need his love in our heart. So what happens is when we rebel against God, we rebel against his love and his wisdom. Are you with me? And if you question the wisdom of any leader, you wouldn't follow him. Tell me, talk to me, somebody. If you question the wisdom of any leader, you would not even follow him. Are you with me? You know if you don't love a king, you won't follow him. If you question his wisdom, talk to me, somebody. So when we read in the Bible, God is showing us love and rebellion all throughout the Bible in so many different ways, through so many different stories. Are you with me? Showing you that if we have love, guess what? We will go through the fire, but God will bring us forth like pure gold. But if we choose to rebel, we may have what we want here, but lose eternal life at last. Are you with me? Now watch this right here. And shall learn to trace their working. What working? The two principles that are contending for the supremacy. Through the records of history, Old Testament history and New Testament history. And what else? Prophecy. Hold it now. In prophecy, in Daniel, in Revelation, we see the golden image. Am I right or wrong? We see the image of gold, silver, brass, and iron, and the feet of iron and part of what? Clay. These are worldly kingdoms trying to seek to establish themselves without God's love. Hello. But what destroys that image? The stone. Am I right or wrong? Which is the stone of love, which is God's kingdom. And the scripture says it becomes a vast kingdom that shall last for how long? That means that love will last forever. Amen. Rebellion will eventually be destroyed. So God is trying to tell us, which one do you want? Talk to me, somebody. and to trace their work into the records of history and prophecy to the great what? Consummation. The songwriter says there's a great day coming. Who's on the Metro New York Men's Prayer Ministry line? Oh, man, that's a powerful prayer ministry. At the end of every service, every morning, it's sing the song, there's a great day coming. A great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? The great consummation, when God divides the sheep from the goats, heaven or hell. Are you with me? It's only, watch this right here, only the result of the principles that have been finally inwrought in every human being that's ever been created. So in the judgment of Revelation chapter 20, and in Matthew 25, when you read those parables, all you're seeing God doing is justly separating those who loved him from those that rebelled against him. Is that clear? But you always trace it back to the first time man rebelled against God's love, eating that fruit. Are you with me? We blame Adam. We blame Eve. But let me tell you something right now. Many of us have made fruit baskets. Are you with me? All right. She says we should see this right here. Then he should see how this what? Enters into every phase of human what? Love and rebellion. Lord help me. Every phase of human experience is either the outworking of God's love in us or the outworking of rebellion. And how in some acts of life, every act of what? He himself, you yourself, reveals the one or the other of the two antagonistic motives. Do you know that everything we do is revealing one of those two motives? Which goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, which goes throughout the primeval period, the patriarchal period. Are you with me? You see the two principles all throughout the Bible. Are you with me? So when you're reading the Bible, because you know they always say, you know, you should read your Bible through every year. And when you do that, if you can keep these things in mind, what happens is God will start showing you yourself. Amen? And showing you what to do and what not to do to be connected with God. Amen? And how, whether he will or not. Will or what? He is even now deciding upon which side of the controversy he will be found. Did you know the Bible, when you study the Bible, it will reveal all these things to you if you search for it? Are you with me? In every truth, in every story, in every parable, in every line, every word, in every verse, are you with me? No wonder Christ said, man, watch this right here, and remember, when Jesus was taken to the mount, there was the issue of the great controversy was in the wilderness. Am I right or wrong? Love versus rebellion. He was hungry for how many days and nights? And the word said from Satan, if thou be the who? Doesn't that sound like the beginning of time? Made Eve doubt what God said? Because before Satan said that, the chapter before says, this is my beloved what? So what's the Bible trying to tell us? The Bible tells us you better know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, then anybody can name you. And if anybody can name you, you'll answer to anything. So what happens is this right here. When you're reading the Word of God, you got to know who you are and whose you are. I am a child of the King. I may not feel like it. My past may not have reflected that. But because I received Jesus into my life, King Jesus, I am a child of the King. And the devil is going to challenge that childship. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. Jesus said, man shall not live by what alone? Because that bread can perish. But you must live upon every what? That proceedeth out of the mouth of what? Remember, Ellen White says the word of God is God's voice speaking to us as verily as we can hear it with our what? He's trying to give us instruction on being on the right side of the battle. Amen? Now, we know who's going to win. Are you with me? Some folk lost some money on the Super Bowl this year. Are you with me? Some are going to lose money on the NBA championship this year. I'm just talking about those in the world. Are you with me? Because you don't know who's going to win the battle. But some people are going to lose in this game of life knowing who was going to win. knowing who's going to lose, but neglected to go on the winning side. And your choices is your gamble. Are you with me? Talk to me, somebody. Your choice for rebellion is on the side of the losing party, and you know he's going to lose. Are you with me? Ain't going to be no draw or tie. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. There is no middle ground. That's why the Bible says that the lukewarm Christian is spewed out. And what happens in the church right here, when you're reading the Bible, you know you can't be, watch this right here, what's called conservative and ultra-conservative and liberal. Am I right or wrong? Now, there's a new one called moderate now. I'm a moderate. You know what the word lukewarm means? It means moderate, brothers and sisters. They're a little bit liberal, a little bit biblically conservative, but guess what? They're going to be spewed out too, brothers and sisters. So God is telling us, which side, we are deciding even right now which side of the controversy you will be found. And that's when we get to the prophecies of the end of time. The mark of the beast is only going to reveal which side of the controversy you'll be on. Are you with me? A life of rebellion will lead to the mark of the beast. A life of obedience to the righteousness of Jesus will lead to the seal of the living God. And when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's instructing you on how to be a part of that number. Amen? Woo, I'm finished. Oh, man, I can't believe it. Woo, watch this right here. So let's do a little review. I got a couple more minutes left. I'm not going to take long, okay? Let's do it all. Let's look at it again, okay? Did we see the Word of God as a whole? Did we see it as a whole? Did we see the relation of its parts? We learned these parts right here. When you're reading these parts, see yourself in these parts. Are you with me? Do you understand this? Oh, good. Thank you. I got good. Good. All right. See yourself in these parts. Get instruction through these parts. And as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and all these things, see yourself in these parts, how it relates to you. And then, watch this right here, know the central theme, a king seeking to establish a what? Kingdom. Jesus says, you should not say the kingdom of God is here or there, but the kingdom of God is within you. Are you with me? Through the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And when you understand that, therefore, when you read the Bible are the principles of God's kingdom. Are you with me? And those who obey it will be in the kingdom right now of grace, preparatory for the kingdom of glory. And then when you see all these things in here, and what happens is simply is this right here. Every act of life will reveal ourselves on the right side if we have the King Jesus in our hearts. How do we do it? Revelation 14:12, as I bring this to a close. Now, tomorrow morning, it's going to be Adventism 201. Did you enjoy Adventism 101? Okay. And then what we're going to do, we're going to do some exercises. We're going to show you how to really break down not only the prophecies, we're going to show you how to break down the doctrines of the Bible. Because, brothers and sisters, let me tell you this right here. I tell my students at Oakwood that I'm training you as lawyers, doctors, whatever you're going to be, to reach those whom I can't reach. So everything I say, please write down and memorize it for yourself. The greatest compliment I've ever gotten from students is students have told me on Facebook, I still got your notes from 3-4 years ago and use them, and they use them. Praise God. So thank God. One time a student said, I told my mama the 2300 day prophecy from your class, and my mom was just blessed. I'm like, hallelujah. Amen. Yes, it's good for people to graduate summa cum laude and stuff like that, but what happens if you graduate summa cum laude but can't explain our message? If you had a 2.5, Pastor Myers, you know this message with all your heart. I'm like, hallelujah, when you call your name. Amen. Let's look at this right here. Revelation 14, verse 12. This represents the people of God in these last days who will take the principles we've learned in this class today, who will be on the right side of the controversy. Verse 12 says, here is the patience of the who? The word of God should make you holy. Amen. Here are they that keep the commandments of what? Because you saw all throughout the Bible, through all the rebellion, that it's not worth disobeying God's commandments. Amen? Here are they that keep the commandments of God, but thank God they have the faith of who? And Paul says, for I am crucified with who? Nevertheless, this is the powerful part right here. I live, yet not I, but it says that Christ, what kind of life did Jesus live? He lived a perfect, obedient, sinless life. So if he's living inside of you, he's keeping the commandments through you. It's giving you credit for keeping the commandments. It's Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in my sinful flesh, he says, I live by the faith. Yes. Amen? Of Revelation 14, verse 12, by the faith of the Son of God. Woo! That's exciting. Amen? Amen. So when we read the Bible and have that word in our heart, Jesus is able to take the principles of his word that he spoke to you and bring his word to pass in your life. Brothers and sisters, I had a good time today at Army Bible Camp. So when you open the Bible, keep these principles in mind, and we're going to see you tonight as we talk about how to survive the shaking. Let us kneel for prayer. Lord, we covered a good time today, Lord, but we're not satisfied. We need more of you. You said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father, fill us right now with your righteousness through the word. And may the principles that we talked about today be carried out as we read the Bible, as we study the general message of the Bible. And may we choose right now, I choose, we choose corporately to be on the right side of the controversy. So may every act of my life be in accordance with the principles of the word. May I take the lessons that I've learned from the word. May we take these lessons and put it in practice to choose the evil and avoid the good. Bless us as we go to our next phase in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you.